go ahead and get started. And looks like we're up, is everybody here? This is a meeting of the State Geographic Information Council being held under the State Open Meeting Act. The notice was posted on the front of the building in compliance with that. We have a sign-in sheet over here. If you haven't signed in, please do so we can keep you informed of council activities and so forth. If you would, join me with in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Okay, well, we have a forum, so it's a business today. As our tradition, we go around the room and introduce yourself and say who we represent, and we'll start at the front with Mike.
Mike Sexton, Oklahoma Department of Commerce.
Scott Marks, Center for Spatial Analysis.
Andre Cruz, Department of Wildlife Conservation.
Jay Adams, Department of Transportation.
Mike Shagrew, Water Resources Board.
Kim Carter, Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security.
Mike Sharp, Conservation Commission.
Wayne Patterson, County Assessors Association.
Shane Weber, Oklahoma Geological Survey.
Troy Frazier, Oklahoma Tax Commission.
And we like Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, Food and Forestry.
We established a geographer.
Amy Britton, Department of Environmental Quality.
Jared Smith, U.S. Geological Survey.
Mark Becker, USGS.
Mike Carlocchiati, University of Oklahoma.
Ashley Oliver, University of Oklahoma.
Kevin Seesock, Water Resources Board.
Shelley Willoughby, Office of Geographic Information.
John Sharp, ACOG.
Daniel Zegas, ACOG.
Corey Newcomb, Oklahoma Military Department.
Ryan Mathis, Oklahoma State University.
Michael Larson, OSU.
Dan Huff, Oklahoma Biological Survey.
Trisha Billingsley, Oklahoma Corporation Commission.
Cheryl Trail, Chesapeake Energy.
Daryl Williams, U.S. Geological Survey.
Ron Maxwell, Department of Mark Brown, Department of Crafting.
Billy Burton, Oklahoma Bowl Eradication Organization.
Julie Adams, Natural Resources Conservation Service.
Jody Roberts, NRCS.
Doug Hoffmark, Oklahoma State Parks.
Bob Springer, Benchmark GPS.
Charles Brady, City of Ardmore.
Alan Janis, OEWC.
Eric Bartholomew, OEWC.
Gail Hatchcock, Osage County Assessor.
Chris Bay, Department of Public Safety.
Ray Bachter, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Okay, well, thank you everyone for being here. Okay, first item of business, minutes for the November meeting have been circulated. Do we have any corrections, additions to the minutes? If there are none, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any discussion on the minutes? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same time. Minutes have been approved. Okay, committee reports. Well, this has been a pretty good month. Shelley, you want to start it off with the job?
I am happy to report that the job descriptions have been approved and are finalized and have been accepted. So they will go in effect July 1st of this year. So starting July 1st, we will officially have GIS job descriptions in the state of Oklahoma. So we did it.
Congratulations to you and the folks that worked on that, the work group, and the perseverance of you hanging in there and keeping after. You know, it's only taken, 10 years to get that done. And OPM had a comment like, oh, only that long? wheels turn slowly sometimes, hanging. And we've also had people calling wanting to use them.
I had a couple of cities already calling me, asking me questions about it, a couple of state agencies, and also the BIA that wanted to use them as resources to develop their own GIS job descriptions or use those. So, you know, the need is out there for them. So this is really good that we were able to get this done.
Thanks to the listserv for getting the word out to the community, too.
Yes.
Great. Okay, Dan, on the land cover, you have an update on that?
Sort of. We haven't met since the last meeting. We're still waiting for little things like data and money, but apparently, the last we heard, the four-band NAEP photography trim available soon, is that correct?
That's correct. I sent a hard drive off this week to Salt Lake to get that, and so just want to express my appreciation on behalf of the GIS community and the folks in Stillwater with USDA, FSA, supporting the request to waive the fee on that, and they did. That's probably about $7,000 or $8,000 cost right there. We had to purchase that photography from them. So they're going to provide it, be a partner with us on our land cover deal from that standpoint. And then, of course, we'll have that four-band NAEP imagery available hopefully pretty soon for everybody to use.
So the committee will start working on those, doing some pilot studies on that. We'll have a meeting and get working on some data.
I need you to get me a hard drive so I can get it.
Okay, you want me to get a hard drive for me?
Yeah, get me at least a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Okay, 1 terabyte.
I'll get it to you guys and start working.
Okay, great. We'll do.
Okay, Amy, you got something on the hydro?
We haven't met since the last meeting. We're going to try to plan a meeting for either last week, this month, or first week of February. So I'll be sending that out. So that's all we've done.
Okay. Anybody have anything else? I don't think you got anything else. Okay, now the highlight of the day, presentation. Mike Shagru is going to show us the Oklahoma Wetland Bureau that they've been putting together. I will scoot out of the way.
What I'm going to show you today is our the Oklahoma Wetlands Viewer. And this was this was a cooperative grant that it came through the Office of the Secretary of Environment, through EPA, as the Water Resources Board, the Conservation Commission, and in part OSU. And there's over 1,200 quadrangles, if you will, 7.5 minute indexes for the state of Oklahoma. That's like 7.5 minute topo maps. They had the National Inventory of Wetlands, which was developed by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service across the state. And those have all been in paper format until recently. And this grant started, I believe, in 2003. And part of the original grant was to start the digitization of these wetland maps. And the first phase also paid for us to develop our original ARC IMS site for the wetlands. And there was a second grant that started in fiscal year 2005, which went to finish the digitization of the maps and helped us develop this new wetlands viewer, which is based on the Dark GIS server and the Silverlight application. So, kind of get into this a little bit. This is our website, and there's a couple links in here. We added this little banner for the wetlands viewer, and this is our WIMS, or Water Information Mapping System. This is the kind of launch page for our old IMS viewers, and then our new Silverlight ArcGIS server applications that we're developing. We also have a data and maps section, and here shortly we're going to start the kind of redesigning our website, and we're going to put a lot more emphasis on our data and maps and information in our entire website. But this is where you go right now for data and maps. We have some frequently requested maps. These are in PDF format. Lakes maps, which goes to our water atlas and our new Lakes of Oklahoma. Rural water systems, our NWI mapping project page, FEMA flood maps, our data, which is available in shapefile format. Some water level observation wells, project data from the Arbuckle-Simpson study, and then our map servers. We go into our map servers. These are the links to our existing IMS sites, and this is an example of our original wetlands viewer based on ARC IMS technology, and it had a lot of information that the user could turn on and off different GIS layers. It's a pretty powerful application, but we notice with those IMS applications, there's a pretty steep learning curve for the novice user, somebody from the outside has really not been exposed to GIS and online mapping applications. It's not very intuitive, and we tried to develop some help pages to make it a little easier to use, but you know, it's still a pretty steep learning curve. So with our better on when you've got a bigger monitor with a little higher definition. But it's built using the Microsoft Silverlight application. Kevin Seesaw spent about four months. Never had used Silverlight before, but had, you know, experience with Visual Basic and C++ programming, that sort of thing, but not Silverlight and not GIS. So we really worked together and pulled this together pretty quick to make our timeline. What we've got is, I'll just kind of go through some of the basic tools and everything that's on here. Little button here, it's kind of cool. We can make the just kind of expands to full screen, takes off all the little
side bars and stuff from your gear. There's a little button that turns on and off the navigation tools. We have a feature where you can zoom, you can select and zoom to school districts. Part of this grant was, one, to digitize and get those wetland maps in digital format. There's another part to it that looked at wetland losses, gains and losses over time, and trying to kind of account for the amount of wetlands that may be lost in the development. And then there's an educational component to it, to help educate students as well as professionals about wetlands. And so part of that, I'll do a little demonstration, but we've added the search for school districts where educators or students can zoom in to their school district and locate wetlands in their area and go and visit these wetlands and learn more about them. So we've got this little search tool. We also have these virtual tour locations, and these were set up by the Wetlands Department at the Conservation Commission. Do that. And then just little buttons to turn on and off the base layers, on and off the map layers. You can open up the legend and then turn on and off the overview map. There's a search tool. You can just type in key names, place names, and it's actually coming from using ESRI's search engine. And it works pretty well. It's not going to hit everything, but it does a pretty good job. We have an identify tool where you can click and identify features. There's a buffer tool. You can enter a search radius and select wetlands within that search radius. There's the print function. You can do a print preview and print. And or save a PDF of this map image. And then there's a little help feature that we built in really to kind of help people get started. You know, this is a new technology as well, and there is a learning curve, but we think it's more in line with what people are used to with Google Maps and Google Earth and Bing and that sort of thing when it comes down to the navigation part of it. So this just gives you some tips on navigating through the viewer. We just created some screenshots and tags to help people. A little section on the map layers describing what layers are available, how to control the layers. And then some tips for searching for features, buffering, identifying. So if we start with our little virtual tour locations, we've got a little box where you can go down. There's 8 different virtual tours. And you just select a tour. Of course, it's going to be difficult. So it zooms in to the area, and it pops up a little identify window. Tells you, it's the Cloud Creek, it's a riparian corridor site. And these virtual tour locations are just kind of representative sites of different wetlands that you might find in Oklahoma. And there's a link in here, click the URL, and it goes to our little virtual tour website. It gives you a little bit of a background about the wetland type, some of the wetland functions, the vegetative community that you find there, hydrology, hydrologic indicators, soil types, and then different wildlife species that you might expect there. We can also use the identify tool and click on the wetland type itself. And with the National Inventory of Wetlands, or National Wetland Inventory, NWI, each wetland type has this wetland code and is developed by the Cowardin lookup system. And so it's like this PEM1-SS1C. It's just all these different characters in there. So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife has developed this kind of a lookup website, a We've got a link. So you go there and you just type in OK for Oklahoma, decode. And so it breaks that down for you, and that's a blustering, emergent, persistent, blustering, scrub, shrub, broadleaf, deciduous, and gives you all the details on that. You go back here. So it gives you the breakdown. And some of these you'll have, and this is from the NRCS plants database, all the different types of plant or vegetative species that you might find with that wetland type. Scroll all the way down. Some of these are big and some are not much there. But it'll also give you the associated soil types that you might find. And you can click on these. It'll give you a lot more information. Just give you more information about what that plant looks like. So we can also we also have the hydric soils, which are soils that are mostly wet, or I'm not a soil scientist, but wet a lot of the time, that are good indicators of a wetland area. Julie might know that. Okay. And we could we've got some information about those hydric soils as well. We have the public lands on there. This we thought would be beneficial. So if you want to go visit a particular wetland type, or you want to go find wetlands, it's a lot easier if you find them on public lands as far as access goes. Being able to actually get permission to see it. We also have the school districts. This is the school district's layer that is maintained through CSA. And the NWI index map, how well you can see it, in the back of these little purple squares are the actual outline or the index for the individual maps. And and do an identify on one of the wetlands. Down at the bottom, it says a historic index map, and you click that. And this will bring up a scanned PDF version of the original NWI map. We still get a lot of requests for these individual, you know, printed maps from engineers, developers, people that use the maps a lot. They still like the paper maps, so we still make those available. For our base layers, we've used the services from ESRI, and so it's really nice for us because we don't have to maintain all that. The downside is, you know, as far as the like the aerial imagery, you know, they're not serving out the latest 2010 aerials that we have from the NRCS, and so it's a little dated, but it's nice because it's all seamless. It's coming from their server, you know, it's not taxing our servers and our bandwidth putting out that information. But all the rest of the map layers are coming from our server, served out through the
Are you saying those base layers
from ESRI.
ESRI.
Yeah, you know, they've got those background layers.
Yeah, I communicated with them earlier last year, and they said that that's going to be updated. That's the main imagery, that's the 08 main imagery up there. And they said they were going to put the 10 imagery on when it became available, so that'll be up there sometime.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. They do for the different layers. Like this is the, you know, the street map. I was reading somewhere, and they like every 3 to 6 months as they get new information, they'll update it. But yeah, and I assume they'll be the same there, which is good. It's just a little bit of a lag time. But one of the downsides is that
the data that they're serving out comes in that, it's basically a geographic projection. And you have to have your data in that same projection in order for them to overlay. And so we're still working out kind of how, because most of our base data is in the hours projection. And I'm still kind of working out some issues. You know, we got this together for this project, but I'm looking at, you know, future development for our other projects. I don't want to have to reproject all my data to this geographic in order to overlay with theirs. And so I'm trying to figure out some ways to get that to work. So if anybody's got any suggestions, I really appreciate that. But as the ortho imagery, there's a topographic background. It's kind of a hill-shaded DRG. And then we've got just kind of a boundaries only. You don't need all that. And if you zoom in, we've got the sections on there. But go in and look at like our search tool. You can go in and just type in a place like, say, Edmond. Zoom in to Edmond, and then even some places like in Edmond, there's a Hafer Park. So it's got a mixture of cities and counties and actual parks, place names, that sort of thing. Like I say, it doesn't have everything, but it's still pretty good for what it is. But so we've got this tool that where the user can go in and select a school district. So like you start clicking and it'll select the district and zoom to it. Adair School District. And I can go in here and type Adair High School. So there's Adair High School, and if a science class or whatever was wanting to do a field trip and go out and visit wetland areas, zoom out here a bit, we could use our buffer tool and say within, you know, 5 miles of the school and just click what the school is. It'll go out and select all the wetlands, and then you can sort by the different wetland types and areas. And we've got the link on there that goes to the decoder and look up the wetland type. We've got a little deal down here that shows the lat-long coordinates where you're at on the map. Some links. This is our NWI mapping project page. And gives you a little information about the NWI wetlands. Here's some direct links to the virtual tours. This is a little application we did a few years ago, but it's kind of designed at educating professionals about wetlands. You know, engineers, developers who might be developing in a wetland area, some brief information that they should know, different characteristics about wetlands, and there's some links to manual, like the Corps of Engineers Wetland Delineation Manual. Kind of a good read if you're into that kind of thing. We developed a pretty cool brochure for our viewer. It's just a kind of a tri-fold brochure, just gives you a little information about it. That's one of our grant requirements. And then down here we have direct links to the scanned PDFs, the wetland maps. And
We'll also have a link on here to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife's NWI homepage. And they have their own national mapper for the NWIs. And they also have, it's pretty cool, you can go here and directly download the entire state's NWI data set. You can either download that in a geodatabase format or a shapefile format. So I want to put that link on there so if you're interested in having data for yourself, that's the place to get it. Really, that's the gist of it. You got anything else? Does anybody have any questions? Why don't you come on through? Yes?
I have a question. Are your floodboard layers dynamic, or are they cached as well with the SRI cache?
The map layers here are all dynamic. We really haven't got that far yet in the caching. And that's why, you know, we kind of went with the ESRI's base layers, because they're already cached and tiled and everything. So that takes a lot of load off our servers.
Have you had people complain about the scales that are preset in cache from the ESRI and the campus?
We've had this up since the end of September. We really haven't publicized. There's a few things we're still working out. I have received zero comment, good or bad. Nobody sent me an email saying, hey, where'd the old one go? And it's used quite, the old one was used quite a bit. So I don't know if it's good or bad, or if anybody's using it, or what.
Good job. Looks good.
Well, thank you. But so if you all have any feedback, I'd like to know, good or bad. But it's, you know, it's one of the things we put it together pretty quick, and we've got a lot of future plans for taking our existing our current IMS applications. You know, we want to port those over to the Silverlight. We went with Silverlight. We had a, I don't know, does anybody else have ArcGIS server applications going here? It's kind of a, you got to pick which way you want to go as far as your development, the user interface. We looked at the Adobe Flash and the Silverlight, and we were kind of in a time crunch, and we had more knowledge, and Kevin had knowledge for programming.
I started here July 1. I've got .NET experience. Absolutely. A grand total of nil Flash experience. So we decided to go with Silverlight, since that's what we do, Silverlight being a .NET, part of the .NET framework. So if you're a Microsoft shop, of development, it's pretty easy to translate that knowledge and experience into Silverlight.
What version of Silverlight are you on?
4.
But it's not perfect. It does require a plugin, a Silverlight plugin, like you would have to have with Flash or anything else. The kind of downside is most everybody has Flash already installed on their machines, so they don't really realize it. So when you go here the first time, it'll just prompt you to download the Silverlight plugin. And it just takes a couple seconds. But it is just one more thing that the user has to deal with. But once it's installed, it's no big deal. But we just really like it. It's a lot smoother. You know, you can just, you know, hold the mouse button down and pan, and use the wheel on your mouse to zoom in and out. And there's a lot of different navigation options. There's this little guy that you can click on the direction.
Show them the rotate.
It'll pan it around. That's cool. I can't do the lay it down thing yet. And then there's a little thing that drops down where you can zoom it. Zoom to full extent. It'll reset your map back to north. Zoom out. It's a little slider thing. That's pretty cool. But
can you zoom to a left low or a legal?
I don't have that in there yet. We're
we're actually thinking of using the same API from Esri with the Soberlite framework for some of our other .NET applications. It'll be for things like permitting, so that people could actually go in and select a region on the map and get a legal description from it. We've talked about that, although that's kind of, that could be several months out for possibly some kind of online permitting application. So we're not there yet. That presents some other issues, what with the legal description being kind of difficult to translate just programmatically, but we're looking into that.
We're also, you know, for, you know, we license all the well drillers, water well drillers in the state, and whenever they drill a water well, they're required to submit a completion report about that. And, you know, one of the things that we have a hard time with is, you know, they may or may not put the right location just because they may not know exactly that they're in section 2 instead of section 1. So if we could use something like this where they are using GPS now to submit lat longs, but in the past it was just a legal description and, you know, some quarter descriptions. But using this where, you know, they could actually, you know, zoom in, but like you were saying, add functionality where I can start with a lat long or a legal description or a county, you know, and zoom in and be able to click and have the GIS or the web application capture that information and already, you know, use that to populate the database.
You mentioned one of the things you're part of this program is to look at change in wetlands. So, you know, these maps that you digitize, but of course they're static and they're not updating those anymore, is that right?
They,
on the paper maps or are they?
They are. There's an initiative out there now to update the NWI.
From a digital standpoint?
From the digital standpoint. Not the paper maps.
Yeah.
Just the digital layers.
But right now, you don't, there's no way to know what's changed out there since these paper maps were scanned.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, you can, you know, visually you can do overlay with aerials and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you see a water body, but you can't necessarily tell that it meets the criteria for a wetland.
That's right.
And we just had an issue come up on the AML site. Somebody thought it was a wetland, we didn't think it was. So you kind of get one of those headbutt situations, you know. It doesn't show up on the wetland inventory.
That's one of the things. Oh, it's not on the map, so it must not be a wetland. And then, you know, most of those maps were, you know, this from about the 70s and 80s and haven't been updated since. So, yeah, they're definitely out of date.
So, sorry if I'm confused, but so are you saying that the data that's on this website is from the original paper maps?
It is. And that's the best available that we have as far as the wetlands goes. Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
So there's an initiative out there to update the NWI. They've got some standards in place and that sort of thing. They're doing it on a kind of a national scale, develop the standards, and then as money and interests come in, then, you know, they'll update. But I'm not involved very much with the state's wetland programs, but I haven't heard anything as far as update for a long time. Yes?
I'm curious, what was OSU's involvement?
I'm sorry, I should have said, they're the ones that did the digitization, the scanning and digitizing of the original paper maps. Actually, they got the Mylar maps from Fish and Wildlife, and then OSU basically did all the labor work, you know, the scanning, cleaning them up, and then they would submit that back to Fish and Wildlife for QAQC approval.
What department was that?
That was Mark Gregory's shovels.
So the maps, the wetland maps, they're viewable in PDFs.
Yes.
Correct. But they're not, those maps themselves are not georeferenced, are they?
The PDFs aren't.
so that you can't view them on the computer. So.
But I've seen that some ArcGIS server applications where they do that, like the flood maps and those weather maps where they geo-reference the originals and you've got the little transparent slider and you kind of go back, turn them on and off.
Yeah, you can build that into an either a Flex or a Silverlight application. It's not terribly difficult.
Mike, how many people are working on this or have, for the most part, here in your shop at the Water Resources Board?
Kevin? And I prepared the, with ArcGIS Server, you can create, like, use an ArcMap project and bring your data layers in and set your symbology and everything how you want it. And then you create what's called a service. You publish the service out, and then the Silverlight application takes the service of these map layers here and combines it with these base layers that are coming with the SRI. And then all this stuff is added on and programmed. But Kevin's the one who put all that together. And there's pretty good kind of a user community where there's samples and kind of user support. Kevin might disagree with me.
No, I agree. In fact, quite a bit, and not to pass the blame or credit, whatever you want to call it, but quite a bit of the tools that you see here that are part of this viewer actually came from ESRI. And we've adapted it and put it all into one framework. But like I said, I started at the Water Board July 1, and this was due September 30th. So we begged, borrowed, and stole wherever we could when it came to code. This, but ESRI has quite a bit of, I guess what they would call open source, samples, tools, and downloadable code to put your own framework together. To actually create a viewer that will show a map in Silverlight, you can get that done in probably about 10 minutes if you know what you're doing. To put all these tools and capabilities in there, buffering, identify, etc., that does require quite a bit more understanding, but ESRI does have a lot of examples available. They've helped make this possible just by having their website out there and their user community.
But after, we got all this pretty much finished, that little announcement from Microsoft that they basically said that Silverlight was going away, kind of thing. And so
we've been told by both ESRI and seen some information from Microsoft themselves. That was really a public relations flub, and Microsoft is kind of shifting gears to some degree on Silverlight. If anyone's heard of the new Windows Phone 7, that's the Windows Phone 7 is actually based on Silverlight, in that if you want to do any development, you do it in Silverlight. But it is still out there, and it's not going away anytime soon, so what we've developed here will be around. So the press release that Microsoft sent out, or it wasn't a press release. I guess somebody was in an interview, and they basically said, well, we think Silverlight's going to work well for phone. And somebody took that to mean that Silverlight's no longer going to be used on desktop. But it's not going away, fortunately.
And ESRI says they're still there. We kind of went this way because it sounded at the time like ESRI was going to be put more resources to the development of the Silverlight.
And as a matter of fact, since this has been released, ESRI has updated their API 2 more times. So this is not something that's a dead language. ESRI is actively supporting it, and in fact, I think they're... Do we have any ESRI people here? This was built off of their 2.1 version of their API for Silverlight. Since this came out, they've done 2.2, and I think they're probably their next beta is out as well. So I may be wrong about the beta, but they're actively supporting this. And in fact, I'd like to move this to the 2.2 API. API for the added features.
Is there an API licensing?
I'm not entirely certain about the API licensing.
There's not any licensing, but you have to buy, what were the two software? What was the software?
Well,
to help you with development.
You could actually, without spending any money, develop a Silverline application. The API itself is downloadable off of the CodePlex website, which is handled by Microsoft. It's kind of an open source community. I don't know if it's a true open source license for the API, but effectively you can redistribute it as part of the building your own viewer. If you want to serve out data, you're going to have an ArcGIS license. If you want to if you want to have a good tool for development and moving around objects on the screen and controlling how your viewer is going to work, you're going to need Microsoft Expressions Blend, which is their Silverlight development tool. It's basically the equivalent of Adobe's Flash developer. And then it's nice to have Visual Studio as well. Now the free Visual Studio web development toolkit, which is downloadable for no charge from Microsoft, will handle all of this. You can effectively develop your own Silverlight viewer for no cost. It's a lot easier if you've got some money, but.
Is this, internally, is this information stored in a personal geodatabase, or do you have a SQL server behind your?
Actually, right now, those are shapefiles that I'm serving up, because I had to reproject everything into that. Kevin, you know what the name of the projection is?
Yes.
It's basically a geographic projection, but it has some kind of world something to it.
Is right said that, you know, that like Google was Bing and all that, but then they became partner with Microsoft with Bing. So to get on board with their projections, they switched the projection to auxiliary sphere, something, whatever.
Yeah.
And before you had 9.3.1 installed from desktop, there was no true transformation for your data to convert to. So they jump ship to master that auxiliary sphere coordinate system, but they didn't have a correct transformation to help you get to that unless you're updated to 9.3.1, which some people are still at 9.2. So you can do it now if you're 9.3.1, but if you're at 9.2, you can't use it.
So to speed things up, I just reprojected, you know, everything, put it in a certain amount of shape files right now. And that's the thing I'm trying to work out, because I want to be able to, you know, serve it out through our SDE and in our Albers projection that we have everything in. And so, you know, in the future, we may or may not be able to stay with the ESRI base layers. I'm not sure at this point. But that's what.
So is that base layer issue new to 10 and 9.3? Is that an after being effect? Because I can remember before from programming part server, simply change your projection in your map, you can go from geographic to UTM to what have you.
And that's what I thought too, because I was kept telling Kevin, I was like, you just got to go in there and find a projection and it'll work. And we spent a lot of time on that, and then I talked with Michael Finaro and some other people at ESRI, and they just said, no, it's got to be the data that's coming out of your ArcGIS server, that projection has to match.
I can't speak for the Adobe Flex side, but for the Silverlight side, I assume this is the same way in the Adobe Flex side. It's not designed to be a ArcMap where you reproject on the fly. It's designed to be, it needs a structured set of data that is in the right format at the right time, and it assumes that you've already put the data in that format. If it's not, it's going to throw up.
That's the Silverlight
you're saying? Anytime you're using that ESRI's base layers, you've got to have your data.
There is no inherent ability to reproject it.
In these online viewers, like with the Silverlight.
The Flex viewer will reproject.
It will?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm doing it right now.
Like I said, I can't speak to it because I'm not a Flash guy, so. I'm a dot net guy.
So you can actually take these and...
Mike, maybe...
Yeah, I mean, the FlexGrid will rejig, which is the amazing thing is it's happening on the client's computer, apparently, because it's an attribute of the FlexViewer itself.
Now, these layers, these same layers, you can bring into your desktop ArcMap application, and you can it'll do the reprojection on the fly and all that. They're pretty slow, though, in my experience. But you can bring them in. There's a whole bunch of different layers that have. But really, I just kind of wanted to show everybody what we've been working on, and really, if you all have any feedback or whatever, I'd really like to know. I assume it works on outside the agency. I tried it home a few times and it seemed to work. So, but that's really it. Does anybody have any questions? Any more questions? Questions for Bob? Thank you. Thanks.
Municipalities in the central Oklahoma area to get aerial photography for those various municipalities, Oklahoma County, USGS, with some funding from NGA, National Geospatial Agency, put some money in for updating the aerial imagery for the central security area, that urban area 133 that they fund in two areas in Oklahoma, Tulsa, and Oklahoma City. So that imagery has now been distributed to the cities. ACOG and John that brought over a box of three external hard drives and a bunch of DVDs, and we've been putting that out on the server. Right now, through our FTP site, you can get all that as Mr. Sid's. There's about 45 gigs worth of imagery from quarter foot up to 1 foot, different projections, northern part of the county, they wanted it in State Plain North, Norman, maybe Midwest City wanted theirs in State Plain South, USGS has it in UTM, 14 meters, Oklahoma County, I think theirs is in State Plain North, so. Right now, we don't have any index files, so it's kind of hard to figure out what you want to grab, but it's out there. If you want to get some of it and look at it, it's really good photography. And hopefully, we'll be getting some more metadata and some other data here soon. And Daryl just brought me the imagery for Tulsa, NCOG, so we'll be looking at that and getting that out there as well. So, I think the total deliverable from ACOG was about one and a quarter terabytes, something like that, for all the raw imagery. Anyway, a lot of stuff out there. And if you recall from November when Mr. Pettit was here, our CIO, he challenged us basically to get involved with the IT governance that's going to be taking place these next 2 or 3 months is to come up with plugging in how we want to look at governance for the GIS community. So I've established a wiki on OSF for that and sending out some invitations, hopefully not too long from now, to have a forum area that we can post some things to look at. Discuss and see what we want to do on if we want to do anything as far as governance is concerned. Right now, we have a governance model that's pretty well laid out in statutes. Is that sufficient? Well, probably not. We need to go a little further about how we set priorities for things that we do, and how we decide what base layers we want to maintain, who's going to maintain stewardship, that sort of thing. That's part of governance, is having those policies, procedures, things in place. So that's a discussion I'd like to get started before long and get feedback from them. So looking forward to that. As if we got nothing else to do on top of everything else. But it's happening, whether we like it or not. You know, restructuring of IT in the state of Oklahoma is going to happen in some form or fashion. So I guess we need to get on the train and try to have some input. Okay, is there any announcements, any meetings or things coming up soon? Charles, you got anything?
A couple of quick ones. Regional SCOG conference is coming up in San Antonio. Go ahead and register online. It'll be April 4th through the 8th. And then watch the listserv and your emails. We're going to have some different things in Oklahoma this year probably. So. Still checking around location and everything else, but we'll let you know whenever it comes up.
Okay. GIS Day, Shelley?
GIS Day is March 2nd. It is a little bit earlier this year than it has been in the past, so we're getting prepared for that. We have several state and local agencies already signed up. We have a few private companies, so if you know of any private companies that might be interested in participating, certainly let them know and send them my way. It should be a really good year this year. We're hoping to get a lot of the legislators involved and have them come out and look around. Representative Murphy, Mike and I have had some conversations with him. He is involved with the, you know, the IT stuff at the Capitol, so he's very interested in what we're doing, so hope we'll bring him out and let him really see what GIS means in the state of Oklahoma. So we hope to see everybody there, and it will be on March 2nd.
Now, Representative Murphy is the chair of the Government Modernization Committee for the House. And that's what IT and all this calls under. So he's looking at a lot of things. So he's showing what we do here. Okay.
I wanted to just let you guys know that our data viewer now has a 2010 We just got that up, I think, this week.
They're available through OK Maps through WMS. We haven't got metadata put up yet, so we have to view their answers. Connect them through WMS if you want to bring them in. Anything else? Okay, next meeting, I think February the 4th is the first Friday in February. So we're looking at that next meeting day. We will not meet in March because of GIS Day. So that time we will try to meet again in April, which kind of a view ahead right now. If there's nothing else, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn. So move.
Second.
Moving second. Those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you, everyone, for coming. And if you didn't get a chance to sign in, we sure do.
I'll tell you what, anyone wants to do with it. I don't know.